This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
Hey, I'm Sarah. When planning our home birth, my husband Matthew and I were really frustrated by the lack of empowering and honest home birth resources. So we created this podcast to start a new conversation for moms and families like us. This is Doing It at Home.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Doing It at Home podcast. Today is Becky's birth story. Now, Becky is an awesome mama of three and also a personal trainer, nutrition coach, and placenta encapsulator. This is a really great episode for those of you who really want to utilize fitness and nutrition to help you prepare for birth, because that's Becky's bag. And she also used techniques like meditation. And I love Becky's mindset on so many things as it relates to pregnancy and birth. We talk a lot about trust and surrender, which if you've listened to the show, comes up a lot around here. And one of Becky's biggest pieces of advice that I can really appreciate is to not listen to other people's horror stories. So listen in. It's a really great episode, and I'm excited for you to hear it. Hi, Becky. Welcome to the Doing It at Home podcast. What's up?
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for having me on, you guys. I'm really excited to tell my story.
Yes. Oh, we're super pumped to have you on the show, and we appreciate your time, and we really can't wait to get into your story. So thanks again.
Thank you. Yes, my pleasure. Thank you, guys.
So kick us off, Becky, with a little bit about you and what's going on in your world.
Okay, so I live in Los Angeles, and I'm a personal trainer, Pilates instructor, nutrition coach, and I'm married. My husband, Ugo, and I have been married for 7 years. We have three kids. I have a 12-year-old daughter who's from a previous marriage, Riley, who was born in the hospital. And then I have Julian, who's almost three, and he was born at home. And then my youngest baby, River, who I'm going to talk about today, he was born, he's about 3 months old now. And then we also have a dog and a cat. And my husband's a video editor. And that's it.
Very cool. We love it. He's got a full house.
The whole family.
Yes.
That's great. So you mentioned with your first child, your daughter Riley, that you had a hospital birth. And then, mm-hmm. you know, a couple of years later, when you were pregnant again with Julian, you decided to go home birth. What was that process like? Or, you know, what was the reason for the shift?
Well, when I had Riley in the hospital, you know what, home birth wasn't even on my radar. I was 22. I was young. And on top of that, she had a pretty severe birth defect. She had gastroschisis. So that's basically when the baby develops with the intestines on the outside of their body. So obviously wasn't a candidate for home birth, but I wasn't even thinking about it anyway. So I was induced with her at 41 weeks. And I didn't have a horror story in the hospital or anything, but looking back, it was just, not, you know, how I wanted to have my next baby. I had done a lot of growing, and I've watched documentaries, and I was really into natural health and, really into basically what can the body do. Like I had run a marathon a few years earlier. So I was like, oh, I think I want to push myself in this other way, and try to go natural and, just try to unsubscribe from the medical kind of agenda, if you will. Mm-hmm. So I have a little bit of a rebel in me, so that kind of played into it. But
nice.
So yeah, I just really wanted to push myself in that way. I had almost like a little bit of an athletic mindset.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Yeah, I can appreciate that. And I can relate to that. I understand that. Just interested in like, well, what can my body do? All right, here's this new experience. Here's this new thing that it's going to undertake that's unlike anything else I've ever done. You know, let's go with this. Let's see.
Exactly. That's, I just kind of jumped into it and I didn't take any birthing classes or anything. I was actually pretty arrogant with it.
In a good way. There's the rebel.
I was like, oh, I can totally do this because, well, with my daughter, I was induced and I had Pitocin and I had an epidural. And so I thought that I had felt what childbirth feels like, even though I had an epidural, because they turned it down at the end and I could feel a lot. But it was definitely nothing compared to natural birth. So it was kind of ignorance is bliss kind of thing, because if I would have known how intense it would have been, it might have, you know, it could have changed my mindset and got in the way. So it was really kind of funny.
Yeah, I guess that's true. If you had known, you may have made a different choice.
Yeah, because, you know, the mind is so powerful. So yeah. I could have freaked myself out where I just kind of went into it and I didn't have any kind of doubt that I could do it. There was no doubt in my mind, you know, that I could do it, even though that labor with Julian, my 3-year-old, it was very, very challenging. It was, I was 42 weeks. My midwife induced me with a Foley balloon because in California, midwives can't deliver at home past 42 weeks because it's considered high risk.
Oh.
So we kind of had, we're working against the clock and I really didn't want to go to the hospital, so she induced me with a Foley balloon, and I did go into labor, but I don't think I was completely ready, and that's why it just, I would, you know, my contractions would stop and start, and it was just kind of inconsistent, and then, and actually, I didn't know what to expect with the pushing and everything, so that was actually very, very challenging for me, so, but the second, the second home birth, I knew how to prepare, and it was a completely different experience. It was actually much more positive, even though it was still a home birth, the same midwife, but just my preparation that I did and my mindset was totally different. So it was so much easier, and it was my third baby. So physically, I think I was, you know, that always helped. But
yeah,
it was a different experience.
Wow. I want to jump back to Julian's birth.
Yeah.
Describe and what it was that the midwife used to induce you. You said it was a something balloon?
Yeah, it's called a Foley balloon,
balloon.
Or a Foley catheter. It's got a couple different names, but basically it's this little long balloon, and then on the other end of it is a big syringe full of water. So basically it was really funny. So I'm laying on my bed and she is holding this little skinny water balloon inside my cervix, right? So it's like this 1 centimeter, it's like the size of a, you know, pinky finger.
Okay.
So she's holding it up there. And then my husband has this big syringe full of water and he's pushing on it. So it's filling the balloon up. And so what happens is it takes the balloon to 4 centimeters. So basically you're mechanically opening the cervix, which will send you into labor most of the time. I mean, it doesn't work for everybody, but thank goodness it worked for me. Then the hormones start flowing. And so then when that balloon when it falls out, then you know you're dilated to 4 centimeters.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that. That is so wild. That's cool.
That's why I always tell, like, you know, women that I train a lot of pregnant women in my my business. And so a lot of the times their doctors want to induce them. I'm like, look into the Foley balloon. Like, it is possible to be induced without any drugs.
Right.
Because, you know, even like it was great because I didn't have to go to the hospital. And I had been induced with drugs before. And this was much gentler than that.
Wow. That's...
That's something else. That's cool.
That's pretty cool.
We've interviewed a couple of moms in different countries, and they'll share some of the different, I guess, tools of the trade that midwives out there have. And I'm always like, yeah, what is, you know, describe that, describe this. And so I've never heard of the Foley balloon, but that's super cool.
Yeah, it was.
Wow. Okay. So I think now is a nice point to take a little break. And then when we get back, I want to go into River's birth story, as you said, and how different it was and just that experience. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll come back.
Today's episode is sponsored by us, Matthew and Sarah Bivens. We are up to some pretty cool things and have some sweet businesses ourselves. And so we're going to take about the next 100-ish seconds to share each other's businesses and what we're up to.
Yes, we are. So, Sarah, you are an amazing balanced lifestyle coach. And Sarah works with first-time moms and new moms who are trying to find some balance in their new role. So if you're a mom out there who's experiencing that burnt out feeling from running around and taking care of everyone else, if you're losing your sense of self in your new role as a mom, or if you're frustrated with creating and sustaining healthy lifestyle habits, then Sarah has something amazing for you. It's called Balanced Mama, and it's a 3-month, one-on-one, super personal coaching experience with Sarah. If you're interested, you can learn more at sarahbivens.com/balancedmama.
And you, Matthew, sir, for as long as I've known you, you have had an extensive background in business development and marketing. And now what you do is you work with businesses who want to reach an engaged audience, boost their authority, and really increase their revenue through the power of podcasting. You kind of knowing what you're doing in the world of podcasting, this is actually your third show. So what you do is you can help, one, launch the show, two, eliminate that technology headache, which is so real, things like equipment, editing, publishing, promoting, things that people don't want to do typically, and three, helping to grow and monetize the show. So if you're a business owner out there, an entrepreneur, or a thought leader expert in a certain area, and you've thought about podcasting, go for it. People really want to hear what you have to say. Trust us, take our word for it. Anyway, go to matthewbivens.com/podcast. Again, that's matthewbivens.com/podcast to learn more.
Okay, so you described that you had 2 home births, you know, with Julian and River. Same midwife even, but completely different experiences. And I'm sure for a couple of reasons. What's that? What's that? I mean, of course, every birth is different, but how are they for you?
Well, there's a couple of different aspects how I prepared. And with Julian, like I mentioned, I didn't do a lot of mindset preparation. I just kind of went into it with an athlete kind of mentality that I'm just going to muscle through it. I'm going to do this, you know? Where with River, I just was a little more mindful. I almost became softer and realizing that it's not about muscling through it. It's really about just surrendering to the process. So I didn't even really, I did some prenatal yoga. I did a little bit of meditation, but I still didn't do any like hypnobirthing. Well, as a matter of fact, the night that I went into labor, I downloaded a hypnobirthing book. I wasn't in labor yet. And I was like, okay, great. I listened to the preface and the intro, I think. And then that was it. And then I went into labor that night and I was like, oh, I was like, oh, well, that was a waste. Oh, well, but it still did kind of get me into that mindset. Oh, and then another thing was that on my due date, I went into labor 12 days after that. So I was 12 days late. I carried my babies a long time. I don't know what the deal is with that, but on my due date, I met a woman who was telling me that she had 2 pain-free home births. And I was like, what?
Wow.
Like, because my experience with Julian was very, very painful. And I was like, what do you mean? And she just said, basically said it's about surrendering, it's about relaxing, it's about, you know, just going with the flow. And it really blew my mind. So then for the next 12 days, I just kind of thought about that and pondered that. So then when I finally did go into labor, in early labor, I was, you know, experimenting with different meditations that I could do. And throughout my labor, it made a huge difference. I could go into my technique if you guys want to hear that.
Yes, please. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Okay. So, and this all came organically while I was in labor. It was nothing I really planned on. You know, some people were like, okay, I'm going to envision myself surfing or whatever. I've heard that before. And this just kind of just came about. So it was 1:30 in the morning and I woke up and I just felt kind of like, you know, like, oh, I think something's going on, but I don't know, because I'd never gone into labor naturally before. So I didn't really know what that felt like at the beginning.
Wow, yeah, wow.
Yeah, so even though this is my third baby, it was like, this is new, I don't know. And so I was just kind of cramping, and I woke up my husband, I'm like, I'm not sure. So anyway, about 2:30, the contractions really started to be more rhythmic. So that's when I started to experiment with, okay, every time I have this contraction, I'm just going to totally relax every muscle in my body, and I'm going to envision it like a wave instead of pain. So then what that evolved to was every time I would have a contraction, I would just go to this place in my mind where I was in the middle of the ocean. And every time a contraction would start to build up, it was like a wave building up. And then at the peak of it, it was like the wave crashing over me. And then at the end of it, it was like the wave washing away. And I was like, okay, I like this, you know. But then the more intense the contractions got, the more my vision kind of evolved. So that by the end, when I was actually in transition, it's kind of funny, but I was in my mind, I was like this hunter-gatherer woman on the beach, like holding onto a tree. And every time I would have a really intense contraction, it was like a wave washing over me. And the energy was like pulling the baby out as the wave was receding. And it sounds kind of like a little crazy, but it was the most meditative I've ever been in my life. And
Wow. It
was really spiritual too. It was like, I just felt so connected to my ancestors and to all of these women who have birthed children, you know, for so long before me, you know, why I'm here, why we're all here. So it was a really powerful thing that just, like I said, organically came up. And so that was how I did it. And it was amazing. It was so pain-free that I was at 8 cents. I didn't know how far along I was, because, you know, midwives don't really check you unless, you know, sometimes, well, I guess everybody has different techniques, but mine doesn't really check. They just kind of listen to the sound of your voice. So it was about, she came over at about 3 a.m. with her student. And then they just kind of, you know, checked on me and let me labor all night. And then the sun started coming up and they came in and they go, are you stalled out? And I'm like, yeah, I think so. I think, you know, oh my gosh. And I was kind of like self-conscious that I was going to make everybody wait for this really long labor again. And so I had a little bit of self-doubt going on there, but they said, okay, let's take a walk around the neighborhood. And I was like, okay, great. So me and the student and the midwife take a walk around the neighborhood, and my contractions had spread out by that point, but they were, when I would have one, they looked at me like, oh my gosh, you sound pushy. And I was like, no, there's just a lot of pressure down there. Don't worry, it's all good. And they're like getting on the phone, ready to call somebody to come pick us up. I'm like, I can walk home. You guys are tripping. It's totally fine. And then they're like, are you sure? We do not want to give birth in this random person's driveway. So I walk back and she checks my cervix at that point, and I was about 9 centimeters with a bulging bag of water. And
wow.
I'm telling you this story because it was just amazing to me that I was walking around the neighborhood, like feeling pretty good.
Yeah.
While I was almost ready to have the baby. And it was all because of the mindset, you know, that meditation, that surrender, like every contraction was just like, yes, I'm closer to having my baby. And I'm closer to not being pregnant anymore.
Yeah.
So I was really just like embracing it. So that was a really big difference, because I think there was a lot of resistance, especially with at the end, you know, during the more intense parts of labor with Julian, I was resisting the pain, which makes labor last longer, in my opinion. Mm. So this time I was like, no, let's do this. So I had an 8-hour labor this time as opposed to a 36-hour labor with Julian.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a question. This is actually for both of you, Becky and Sarah. So we've had a lot of moms on this show use the word surrender. And Becky, you just said that you know, your labor, you described it as pain-free. You said it really flowed. It was a quarter of the length of your other one. And you talked about the mindset and the surrender. And Sarah, I know that the concept of surrender is big for you. Can you guys, for the person who's listening, who's like, okay, I get it. I hear the word surrender, but what the hell does that mean? What do I do? Like, what does it mean to actually surrender? Can you guys try your best to just share that experience and describe it for that person who's like, I want to learn how to surrender, but how do you actually surrender? I'm putting you both on the spot.
Becky, would you like to go first?
Sure. Well, like I said, physically surrender was a big part of it for me. So relaxing every single muscle in my body, like starting from the head down, relaxing the jaw, relaxing the throat, relaxing the neck was a really big thing, because I started to notice when pain would start to creep in, it was because my neck was tense. So just like, I would shake my head. And so a couple of times people are like, no, what are you, you're saying no, you don't like this? I'm like, no, I'm just shaking the tension out. Mm. So that was a big thing, totally relaxing every muscle in the body. And like I said, surrender to me was just really embracing the intensity, like kind of bring it on, you know, bring it on, uterus. This is great, because the more intense these get, the closer I am to having the baby. So it's almost like during a workout, you know, when you get that burn and you're like, yes, like this is what I'm here for. This is what's going to, you know, change my body. This is what's going to make me stronger. It was kind of that same feeling, like, you know, kind of, like I said, the uterus is like so, it's so intense, and you're just like, and it's so strong, and it's almost like you're encouraging that, because that is you, you know, you're like, yes, my encouraging your body to have that strength to create that intensity. Surrender to me was like releasing fear. A fear of the pain, you know, like when you're scared of the pain, that I think maybe like 80% of the sensation, you know, if you get rid of the fear of the pain and you know that it's for a reason, then the intensity is there, but that suffering goes away, you know? So just and as a matter of fact, the only time I really did feel pain was at the end when I was pushing him, because he had shoulder dystocia, so his shoulders weren't coming out. And so I got, you know, a little scared, like, oh my gosh, first of all, is he going to be okay? Am I going to be able to get him out? What is this going to do to my body when I push his shoulders out? You know, so the fear started coming up, and that's when I did start to feel pain. So that's really what surrender meant to me.
Mm, thank you.
Wow.
Thank you. I mean, that helps me to visualize it as best as I possibly can, having, you know, experienced one birth and talked about many of them. It's a challenge for me at times to really understand, you know, what you all are going through. But I can kind of wrap my head around surrender the way you described it. So, Sarah, how would you describe it?
How I would describe surrender is a twofold thing of trust. And when I say trust, I mean trust in myself and in baby, and that this is a process that's been going on for a very long time, and just trusting that it's going to work itself out in some way. So I trust myself because I know myself and I've prepared for this experience. You know, it's kind of like my mom used to tell me the night before tests. It's like, there's no more studying you can do. What you need to do now is just pray for clarity and peace of mind. And so applying that to this, it's like, I've done all that can possibly be done. And even if you don't feel like you have. And so now it's just trust. And then the second piece for me is allowance And by that, I just mean allowing whatever consequence of my choice is. So I've made this decision to birth this way, to be with these people, to be in this moment. And there are a number of possible outcomes. And I allow what that's going to look like. And both of those together gave me the opportunity to find peace in the discomfort, to find a way to flow in the fire, you know, kind of how Becky was describing, especially with that physical piece. And I love how you explained that, because that is something very tangible that women can take something from, like, oh, if I just take it at the base physical level, what it means to surrender, relax this muscle, relax this muscle, relax this muscle. And then if you apply the mindfulness piece to it as well, then you have a really great recipe for full surrender and just trusting the process.
Awesome.
Great question, Matthew.
I'm speaking on behalf of the listener who's like, what the hell do they mean when they say surrender?
Yeah.
So I appreciate both of you just the impromptu sharing your surrender experience.
Mm-hmm.
No problem.
One thing, Becky, that we didn't touch on, but I always like to hear just if there's anything from your experience with Ugo and the process of deciding on home birth for Julian, what that was like, or how he has been through the journey.
Yeah, my husband's awesome. He's just so supportive. Like, I come up with the craziest ideas, and he's like, okay, honey. Like, he just trusts me, He trusts me so much. And I'm always the one I'm just like passionately curious about things. So I do a lot of research. I read a lot of books. I watch a lot of documentaries. And so when I, explained home birth to him, he was just like, okay, sounds awesome. Like, let's do it. And so he was just really supportive the whole time. Never once, he's never questioned my choice to do it. It was always my choice. His mom, however, for our first baby, she's a respiratory therapist, and she works in the NICU. So she has a lot of fear, and her background is working with sick babies.
She sees a lot of stuff. Yeah.
And so she was really upset when we told her we were going to have a home birth. But you know what? It's really funny because I had a home birth, and then her daughter was inspired. He's my midwife, had a home birth.
Oh, man.
I had another one. So it was a perfect example of what you resist persists kind of thing. So now I think that hopefully her fear is a lot less, but that was really the only resistance I encountered whenever I said I was going to have a home birth. I mean, some people are like, well, what if something goes wrong? And I'm like, there's a hospital a mile away. Like, it's a calculated risk. I'm fine.
Right.
But yeah, as far as my husband, he really really trusts my opinion and trusts me to raise our kids, the way that I see fit. And birth is just the first part of that. So, so he's very supportive, and it's really cute during the birth. I always think guys get into their some men get in, I don't know how to describe it. They get in action mode, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're just like, they're like ready to go. And some women are like, oh my gosh, she's watching, watching me do all these crazy things and all this stuff coming out of my body. And I'm like, no, they're focused on the task at hand,
Mm-hmm.
And so that's exactly how he was. He was just, so supportive, especially, with Julian, I labored a lot on my own. I just wanted to, at the end, I just wanted to kind of be by myself. But this time, I don't know what had, transformed, but I really did rely on my husband a lot for support when the contractions were intense. I was just hanging on him. I was holding him and leaning on him. And even when I pushed the baby out this time, I was lying. Well, I pushed the head out and I was on my knees. And then to get the shoulders out, we flipped over and I was on my back and just kind of, and he was holding me. So he was just like my rock. He was never had any sense of, fear, trepidation, nothing. So he's awesome.
That is very cool. Way to go, Ugo.
Yeah.
Give it up for the dads. I think, Becky, that your story and the way you've described all of your births, very different experiences, all ends of the spectrum. You've kind of had the full package.
Yes.
is a really great example of knowing yourself. That's what I heard throughout everything you described, that you had a very clear sense and understanding of who you are. And based on that, you did what was necessary to either prepare you, like you said, with the research and the, all the preparation work that you did, or how you went about, you know, preparing physically, like all of it. I just hear a very clear understanding of who you are. And I think that's a great example for women listening. And I'm sure it impacts your coaching now, having had all those experiences when you coach moms in general, and especially pregnant women.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's amazing. And that's kind of what I did with River, with my latest birth. Was I was like, okay, I train pregnant women, and I think I really know what I'm talking about, but I'm going to put my coaching into practice with myself. Like, I was like my own little experiment this time around. So I was doing very, you know, the movements that I do with moms are very specific, like, you know, of course, lots of squats and lots of strengthening of the glutes and very specific kind of mindful core awareness exercises and things like that that I've learned over the past few years. And so I put that into my own, you know, practice while I was pregnant, and with amazing results. I was like, yes, okay, I do know what I'm talking about. For the first time, my core, I didn't have any separation in my core this time. And I had it with both my other kids, the diastasis recti, where the, you know, you have the little gap in the rectus abdominis muscle.
Yeah, I have a little bit of that going on.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So I was like 2 days postpartum and I checked myself. I'm like, woohoo, I didn't even have one. So I was really excited about that. I didn't. And my pelvic floor too. So pelvic floor exercises are very important. And my pelvic floor was amazing. So from doing all my range of motion exercises and really oxygenating the tissues through exercise, I was able to push this big baby. He was 9 pounds, 5 ounces, huge shoulders, huge head. He was 14 and a half inch head with absolutely no tear. And it was and that was also a first for me. So that was really so empowering, just to know that if you treat your body right, it will do amazing things.
I completely agree. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's super cool that you were able to take what you do in your profession and incorporate that into your own preparation. And then you were able to see the results or the impact of that in your actual birth. Like, you're a fantastic testimonial for yourself.
Yeah.
I know. If you follow the program, it really works.
Yeah.
It was a great feeling, to tell you the truth. Like, professionally and just, of course, having a baby, being a woman, it was really awesome.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're awesome is what I was going to say. And
thank you.
I'm just so grateful to you. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. And I believe Matthew has one final question to ask you.
Yes, I do. I'm over here gesturing like, no, don't wrap up yet. I still have a question. So I want you to leave the listeners with some big takeaway, something that really helped you to prepare for both Julian and River and with your daughter, Riley. Just kind of get you prepared for birth. And, you know, you mentioned the mindset and you mentioned surrender. Is there anything else? Was there maybe something, a book you read or a documentary or a movie you watched or a physical object you had in your room, something like that, that you can share with us?
I think it's really important, the media that you take in. I mean, it's so powerful. Like, don't listen to anybody's horror stories. Like, if you're pregnant and you're, you know, envisioning your birth and somebody tries to launch in with their horror story, just politely say, no, thank you. Like, I don't want to hear that, because it affects you. So I think I listened to your podcast for the last couple of weeks. I was on Instagram just looking at really beautiful birth photos, and I would go on YouTube and I would, watch, you know, home births and things like that. It was just really getting present to this is not only doable, but it's normal. Like, this is just a physiological process and it's beautiful. So that's the advice I would give to people, is just stay in that space and, you know, just ignore any nonsense coming out of Hollywood or wherever with the mom screaming her face off and all this stuff that says, like, oh, you know, like, even postpartum stuff, like, oh, you're going to pee your pants forever, and your vagina's never going to be the same, and blah, 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 all this stuff. I'm just like, just throw that out. That's ridiculous. It's not true. And it's really disempowering. So, so yeah, just be very careful of the media that you take in.
Mm, that's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that, because I absolutely agree with you. We did HypnoBabies. Yeah. We did, like, the hypnobirthing course through HypnoBabies, and that was one of the big things. Exactly what you said, when somebody goes into sharing their disempowering or their horror story, their horror birth story, you just say politely, no, thank you. I'm not interested in that.
Oh,
and it's just
awesome.
It's huge. So thank you for that.
Of course.
Well, thank you again, Becky. We love and appreciate you, and just give all our best to your beautiful family. And
yes.
So excited that you're out there doing what you're doing and being that example and being that source of empowerment and inspiration for all the women that you coach.
Heck yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, thank you. That's a great acknowledgement. I appreciate that. Thanks so much for having me.
Does your father know you're listening to this podcast? Well, when you're done, why don't you stop by and check out a show that is 100% dad-approved, Dadages. Hi there, I'm Chad Higley. If you're looking for useful insights and practical advice you can actually apply to work, family, education, philanthropy, and just life in general, check out Dadages. That's Dadages, wherever you listen to your podcasts.